is Penn Jillette on Big Free FM, CBS Radio. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com with Michael Godot. This is a very, very exciting day because I'm not here. Right now, as we speak, I am winging my way eastward to New York City. And your ass is staying here.
I'm here.
You're not going anywhere.
I'm not even here.
No, you're not here. But you're going to be. And the excitement is I'm going to be in New York City Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and maybe Friday. And tomorrow, which is going to be a huge Monkey Tuesday, we will have Michael Godot, who will be back here in Vegas, holding down the fort, telling us what's happening in the... And I'm trying to make it like we wanted you to be in Vegas, as opposed to we just didn't want to bother flying you out, and you had work to do at Lance's show.
Yeah.
I'm trying to spin it that way. But we're going to be in New York City, and we're going to have... Gilbert Gottfried in the studio. Oh, and it'll be Gilbert. He'll be talking about Monkey Tuesday.
Yeah, and I'll be doing what I'm talking about.
And I have you'll be.
Are you sure I have to come into the studio here?
For the few people.
You and Gilbert?
You can just turn on the radio. We're also going to have a live studio audience, and it'll be announced all day today on Free FM in New York City. But the basic idea is this. They're going to take five callers at random. Not at my phone number. Not at 866-570-PED. I think it's really cool to say
not at this number and then list it. Yeah.
I'm going to actually list every possible number it won't be.
Not at this number.
And then people can figure it out. 1-800. You can always get in touch with us at PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com.
We won't be picking the winners from there either.
They're only taking five callers at random, okay? It's going to be Halloween. It's going to be Monkey Tuesday. And you're going to want to be there. But I want to ask you a favor. This is Penn Jillette's honor system, okay? Please, if you're a dollar, only like five pairs of people are going to be coming in. So those seats are very, very precious. So if you're a loser, if you're not interesting, please don't call. I want people who are sexy in monkey suits and have monkey stories, okay? That's all I ask. One of the other days, like, you know, Wednesday or Thursday, if you're not interesting or you're not dressed in a monkey suit or you're not attractive, come one of those days. I'm going to welcome my people then, the unattractive people. But for the Tuesday, really, honor system. Look in the mirror. If you don't look funny in a monkey suit, talk to your friends. If you haven't got a funny monkey story, please don't call in Tuesday. It's Gilbert Gottfried, one of a good showing. I also believe that Sandy at Carnegie Deli is going to cater the big shindig. So there's going to be corned beef, pastrami. There'll be Celray sodas, my favorite. We're going to have a little bit of a Halloween party in the studio, which is kind of weird. It's kind of like having a party at, you know, someone else's house because this
without
is going to be at Free FM. They'll tell you where it is. I don't know where it is.
Party at someone else's house without me.
Well, a lot of the really good parties
that don't involve me yet.
Yeah, but that's
I don't look good and I don't have a monkey suit. I can't go.
But we're going to have, this is tomorrow, and I'm in New York City this whole time. So when it starts going, when the show starts rocking, 866-570-PEN, which will not be the number, 7366.
don't write to PennRadio@gmail.com.
No, do write to PennRadio@gmail.com.
Still not going
to
win any tickets.
You can forward stuff to me. PennRadio.com. We're going to be there all week. So there's cool stuff happening in New York City. Tomorrow night, Tuesday night, I am going to see Zappa. Zappa plays Zappa.
You got tickets to Zappa plays Zappa?
I got tickets to Zappa plays Zappa. That's where I'm going to be. And I'm
just going to lay on the floor and cry.
Tomorrow morning.
You have a fine time.
Wait a minute, though. There's always a yang to go with the ying. You know that. There always is. I'm doing The View tomorrow morning. I'm getting up early, and I'm going on The View. So little Mr. Envious can just go, okay, I'll stay. But I'm going on with my my daughter and my son. So, I would never suggest anybody watch The View. But if you want to see it tomorrow, we're going to be on.
As and, shields. When you get on The View.
As shields.
You're holding them up as human shields.
Human shields.
So The View people don't kill you.
Now, I've got to be on a plane. So I'm going to play a great interview that I did with Saget. And who else? Who was it? Baltimore.
Bergeron.
Then we're going to play that right now. So we throw it over to Penn Jillette with an interview with Saget and Bergeron. at a historic meeting because the two hosts of America's Funniest Home Videos are here with me in the studio.
This is like Doctor Who. This is like when he regenerates and you get that episode where they're back together.
Tom Bergeron and Bob Saget, two people who know more about talking while people are injured than anyone else. Is that right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, we could run our own HMO, actually.
Old people and shrapnel.
Right.
Don't you think it's after the rake hits the guy in the nads and he falls and then it cuts, there's something horrific that happens after, maybe.
Well, a recruiter for the Vienna Boys Choir probably shows up. How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
A lot of yodeling.
Yeah.
Now, how did each of you end up posting America's Funniest Home Videos?
Well, you start.
They saw me on a tape with 50 other comedians, and they'd also seen me on, I was on The Tonight Show with Carson narrating my wedding. I've been divorced 9 years. It was in regular 8mm. A few producers of the show, Vin DeBona and the producer Steve Pasquet, saw me on there and thought I'd be good to host this special. Right. And the special was an hour. They showed me 20 minutes of animals doing stuff and kids getting and old people getting hit. And I laughed. And I said, this is funny. And I wanted to be part of something funny. And I was on Full House for a few months. And I was an ABC talent, they assumed. That talent was a broad word. And then I did the pilot episode, which was just, a special. And then that special re-ran once. They had a 60 Minutes rerun against it, and we beat the rerun of 60 Minutes, and everyone took notice. And then I was on it for 7.5 to 8 years, almost an 8-year thing, but it was like half a season, one of the seasons. And then I left, and Daisy Fuentes and I had a child who will be hosting the show in 2400.
That's right.
The Book of Daisy. But then I did it for that length of time, which is a long time. How long have you been doing it?
I'm in my 7th year.
Mazel tov.
Thank you. And I'm agnostic. What does that mean? And I got the gig when I was actually hosting the New England Emmy Awards. Vin was there because he's an Emerson alumni and worked in Boston as I did. And they were bringing the show back. It had gone back to being a series of specials, and apparently they'd gone to Pauly Shore. He said no. He was busy. So they came to me, and he offered me the show that night at the New England.
Well, it was a good choice.
Thanks.
Honestly, because you do think you're great at it.
Well, it's a very different style. You know, the only show that if the TV is on and it's on is America's Funniest Home Videos, because I love seeing people get hurt.
And they're real people.
Right.
That's the
and
real,
real
people getting
real
hurt
pain.
Is so much better.
Yeah.
It's the, can you quote the exact Groucho Marx line? Because I always quote it.
I wouldn't be part of a club that would accept.
No,
me
no,
as a
the
member.
One about anyone can dress up like an old lady and fall down the stairs and make people laugh, but to make professional comedians laugh, it has to be a real old lady.
I thought you were going for the I love my cigar too, but I take it out every so often.
But I mean, it's real people being injured.
No, right.
And when Saget would do the show. I mean, the two of you seem to be able to do the exact same thing from the opposite side. Saget looks uncomfortable wherever he is, and you look comfortable wherever you are.
No, that's what's good about doing. I looked like I needed to be cleaned.
But Tom, I would watch you when we did the Hollywood Squares times, and you were the host, and it didn't matter what happened. You would stand there with people who didn't know how to play tic-tac-toe, and you wouldn't hit them.
No.
You'd never get exasperated.
No. There was that one time when they pulled the April Fool's joke.
Yes, that was great. Tell about that.
Well, and Penn and Teller were among the group there. You guys didn't know either.
No, we didn't know either.
I had been told backstage that, you know, we're getting some preemptions on the CBS stations because of football playoffs. So, and that's going to be like on Tuesdays. And I'm not a big sports fan, so I'm going, oh, that makes sense. On Tuesdays, we're going to be preempted. So we're going to do Teacher Tuesdays for just a few weeks, and it'll just be teachers. It'll be standalone segments. So we get out there, and I'm introducing this, you know, lame concept. And
why don't you explain how the Hollywood Squares?
Up and down, cross through, tic tac toe. You know, just get a cocktail napkin and a flare pen for God's sake, and leave me alone. So we're doing the thing, and the woman's very nervous. She's getting, you know, like just hesitant and tentative, and the guy is starting to become belligerent. He's going, oh, come on. He's going, God, she's folding like a card table. And I'm thinking, okay, this is interesting. And then she starts to cry at one point. And I mean, I'm as close as I am right now to and just weeping. And I'm hugging her. And I'm thinking, the producer part of my brain's thinking, if I can keep enough of this on tape, we can air it. You know, if I can get 22 and a half minutes of this, we can air it. And then the guy starts, and I'm like thinking, okay, I'll ad lib to make it, you know. I'm saying, geez, and for this I gave up the audition for Card Sharks. And then it turns out they were both actors. And it was an April Fool's joke on me.
Oh, that's hilarious! Yeah.
And it was brutal being up. We were up in the with the structure of the Hollywood Squares. The biggest surprise in doing the Hollywood Squares, I mean, after the shock wore out that I was doing the Hollywood Squares, after that, it was the fact that I had always thought, watching it at home when I was a kid, that those squares were put there somehow digitally or separate cameras.
That it wasn't really.
I didn't think you'd have to crawl up like in a Vietnam tiger hole, you know, and just crunch over, and there you are, you know, climbing up behind Little Richard. Tiny chairs to sit in this really a torture place. I mean, I think it was where McCain was kept during Vietnam. This horrible.
That's why he would never watch. We invited him a number of times, and he would have flashbacks and stuff.
And you're sitting there on this structure, at one time, Teller and I, just because, you know, like monkeys in a cage, you get bored up there, we started rocking it a little bit, and it was just fabulous to see Martin Mull put on his dad voice.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
Martin Mull is always funny, always great. Yeah. We start rocking the top of the structure, and Martin Mull goes, hey, Penn and Teller, stop it now.
Yeah, I know. He actually gave them a timeout, which I had never seen anybody get on Hollywood Squares.
But it's a rickety structure.
It is a rickety structure.
And if they bring it back a third time,
it's going to be
brutal.
Screwed.
Well, you can't put old people at the top either.
No, you can't.
You need to medevac them.
Right.
But, you know, that whole thing, when I was a kid watching Hollywood Squares, I loved the show. I never stopped watching it, and I'm sure we all did. Yeah. I was at one point I thought God was just going, I'll Charlie Weaver to block. Wally Cox, Paul Lynn.
Yeah.
He just kept calling them out, and they just died one by one.
True.
He would just take them out.
And whole weeks would go by where they had been dead, and no one...
They just kept them there.
They kept them there, and they thought
George
they were
Goble.
Bluffing.
Circle gets the square.
That's right.
It's a monumental show.
Yeah.
Why?
It's on right now, right?
It's in reruns on the Game Show Network. Yeah.
Do you don't go make more of them?
Uh-uh. No.
Haven't you gotten the call? They're gonna want to make more.
No, I think that's it. 6 years of that explaining tic tac toe. Your patience wears thin. After
Do you believe you had every possible game combination of Hollywood Squares in the time you were hosting? People starting in every single square.
Oh, I think
going
so.
Every one to
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
That's 9 times 8 times 7.
And I would have gone, you know, and I did something. I used a line that Peter Marshall used, which was the gentlest way of telling somebody that they were an ass, which was, you know, when they did something stupid, like they could have won, but they went somewhere else, and you went, well, you know, I might have gone there for the win. But then my brain is engaged, so
it was amazing to sit up there and watch your face when someone didn't know how to play tic-tac-toe.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
just
stage fright, though, wasn't it?
I think a lot of it is. I think, I think a lot of it is too.
Penn would like to think it's fools.
Well, sometimes I think it's like there's a person.
These are the two kindest men in the world, right here.
By the way, I just want to say right here, I go to different places where Tom has been. You know, this one girl? No, I'm just kidding. Married for 24 years. I wouldn't even guess that. Right. But I know different. No. No, sorry. I saw a video.
You want to see a funny video?
I was just in Boston area, and I don't know where the hell I was, in New Hampshire or something, people were just saying that you had been there and you were the nicest. Everywhere I've gone, they just say you're the nicest person, because all people meet are affected jerks from show business. Can you say that?
It's satellite.
On the CBS?
No, it's not satellite.
It's
CBS.
It's CBS.
No, it'll be blipped out.
It'll be blipped out.
Yeah. It's easy.
But it's good. It's good when you're on with Saget and you're the one getting blipped.
I know.
Tom is the nicest guy in the world. I sure am, you.
It sets the bar high when you're here, Bob. That's why.
That's why I couldn't. I had problems. That's why I looked like I needed help while I was doing it. You're a professional.
Well, I had the therapy ahead of time. That's why.
And you're still married and everything. And I have a wonderful ex-wife. I gave her your number.
Yeah, thank you.
She's
Do you have a picture?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll show it to you.
Oh, tomorrow. It's on the web.
It's
in
my phone. It's on the web. Hey, that's my ex-wife.
Uh-huh.
That's the mother of my children.
Uh-huh. .com.
That's why. So after teaching people to play tic-tac-toe, you were over to America. It was America's Funniest Home Videos. It was after that, right?
At the same time for a couple of years.
Now, did you guys get to see, I think this is a dirt dumb question, but for a while, there was this tape circulating that was called America's Funniest White Trash Videos or something. It was all the videos.
It's Britney Spears baby shower, I think.
That pretended to be
right.
Pieces of video that weren't shown.
But that exists, doesn't it? Didn't Vin
produce something like
an infomercial or something?
He did a thing that was the things you can't show, but under a different name. It wasn't under the same banner. But someone, when I was on the second year of it, took, I don't know if you've ever seen this, some film head in town took the Zapruder films and the shuttle and took Faces of Death.
Oh.
He took, I'm not messing around. He took the Faces of Death footage, and this is terrible, and he intercut it with me. Doing my lame ass jokes. Wait, no, but it would be like, and here's something. It was me at my worst, which is hard to pick. Which
hey,
is,
let's go to the grassy knoll.
You have no idea. You have no idea.
Some think the bullet came from here.
You and the heads in the studio of the
people. What do you mean
people,
he did it? It was your voice.
It was me and footage of me. And then they would go, and here's something that happens every day. And it was the senator that took his brains out.
Or the
bullfighter.
Yeah, I remember,
And that people
Bud
in the
Dwyer,
studio audience. Right. And that people in the studio audience throwing their heads back laughing. You know how they're editing them.
Right.
And it
the
was
sad
just,
thing was that Fox was disappointed they couldn't buy it.
I had never been so good.
Yeah.
But it was That's it was pretty sad. Scary. Yeah, tell me about it, because my jokes worked better with that footage.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't have any access to the tapes that were sent in. You didn't bother with that at all.
No,
you guys just showed up.
You know, I just show up and act glib and take the check and leave.
Because it seems like one of the guys that edited would say, you know, you've got to see this and show you some stuff.
I haven't.
They did that with
stuff.
Me. They were a couple screeners that were obsessed with me in a stalky kind of way.
Yeah.
And they would like, you know, they had like audiovisual aids that would work there. They paid them like a dollar.
Yeah.
It was
like
a sweatshop. They had like 100. I think they do it differently. They were
making Kathy Lee's clothes, and on break they watched. They would watch tapes for us.
They would just send them to my house, and I would look at them, and they were borderline snuff. I mean, it was borderline wrong.
Yeah.
You want to see it?
Yeah,
it was. So much.
That's the funny thing about hosting the show. You want to see the edgier.
Yeah, especially when you're like 20 episodes into the season, and, you know, the variations of bits are getting, here's another one. Okay, fine.
Where do you see what happens after the hit?
Right.
You know, the guy's on the ground, and he just doesn't get up.
Right.
And it's like,
there's stuff. I mean, people break their backs.
Yeah.
You know, there's like trampoline and skiing stuff that's shown in those shows that just, it just really looks.
Really, though, they were worried when I did it, and I'm sure they have a concern still. They police it pretty well. They tell people.
They do,
And I used to tell people to be safe and stuff, because I got worried that they were going to sue. I was worried people were going to get hurt. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Right.
My bad.
Now, you know, it's a different time now, so we leave the tape running as long as the CSI crew comes in to the scene and starts dusting and
put down the yellow chalk.
Yeah, right, that's right. Yeah.
Crime scene tape.
And did you guys, when you were doing that, did you notice that the editors got, like, more jaded? Were they pitching different stuff? You know.
Oh, we've done a thing in the past couple of years where we're all getting more sadistic. Where I'll have the monitor right with me, and we'll slow it down so we can relive the pain. It's not enough that you just go through it once. We'll slow it down, and then I'll have them rack it back and forth so they hit. It's like watching Mo on speed. You know. You know, it's, you know, so we just revel in it now.
But it's remarkable that it's run so long and that you've done. You'll do it forever if you want.
I call the show The Annuity now.
Well, you know what? It's like when Candid Camera wouldn't go away.
Right.
But once Alan Funt went away,
his
son is like, and as much as I love Jim Henson's son, I still want Jim Henson to do Kermit, Yeah. The way you're doing it is just, I watch
thank
it.
You. Thank you, Bob.
I watch it naked. With lotion.
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
Just tape it, send it in. Your stalkers are still there. Earning $1.85 an hour.
I'm sitting there, I hope no one gets hurt tonight.
When Alan Funt left Canon Camera, it was just over. But when Bob Saget left America's Funniest Home Video,
it was hardly
a thing. No one even noticed.
There was no weeping
nationally. It was like, oh, Tom's coming in, good.
It was the sound of a rabbit farting in the woods when I left.
Now, how many...
Daisy came in and the ratings went up.
Yeah. Now, how many people manufacture the tapes that just say, we're going to make a tape for America's Funniest
74.
Home? 74.
That's the number. And it's in the Celestine Prophecy, too, I think, somewhere, page 94. But, we do a thing called Assignment America where we ask them to manufacture a bit. But didn't you find that the people who tried to stage something on their own, typically, people hold themselves differently if they anticipate.
If they're not falling off a roof.
Like in the Zapruder film, if they had known it was coming.
It was a magic bullet.
They would have put the top up or something.
It would have been a flinch.
Right, there would have been that. Yeah, something. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. They would have not used a pillbox hat to deflect it.
Yeah, and a pink one at that.
At Connolly's knee.
Yeah. We did a thing for Bulls. Hit our TV show.
Yes.
We did a thing where we shot melons because one of the big things of the Zapruder film, the Oliver Stone thing, is that back to the left is the whole thing.
Right.
Like it's where. But any big game hunter will tell you,
like
when you shoot when you shoot something in the head,
right.
It comes towards you because
right.
you have a jet propulsion out the other side.
Uh-huh.
So we went and took Mannlicher Carcano rifles, the same distance, same shot, and put melons in a solid casing that would represent a skull, and then shot them. We shot 45 of them. And all of them hop back directly toward where the shot came from. So when the head goes toward the book depository, it's pretty clear that that's where the shot came from. But the place where the taste did kind of go over the line was I insisted on having a melon next to where the pillbox hat. So I was actually sitting with a Mannlicher Carcano rifle at the same distance, shooting at a melon, and next to the melon was another melon with a pillbox hat. And everybody's going, I guess we can crop it out. I guess we could do that okay. But I thought the taste was great. We have the two hosts of America's... Daisy Fuente isn't here.
Testify.
Two hosts testifying here. We have Tom Bergeron, who will be back, and, of course, Bob Saget. I'm Penn Jillette, and Michael Godeau has not said a word. Let's keep it that way, Godeau.
Hi, guys.
Bye, Mike.
Bye.
We have two of the hosts of America's Funniest Home Videos, Tom Bergeron, Bob Saget, and we found out how Bob Saget, how the root of his life took some weird bounces and ended up on his show. How did you get there? After you did Penn and Teller and the Boston People Are Talking.
People Are Talking, and then, I went to, after being in Boston for years, I went to New York to launch FX Cable when it was a lowercase f in the old days, in 94, and did a show there that I absolutely loved, a live TV show in an apartment built for television in the Flatiron District of New York, this loft apartment, and we did things like Jackie Chan and I went leaping over furniture on live TV. I mean, I rode horseback down Fifth Avenue. Bob Barker was there to promote when he was in Happy Gilmore, that scene, that golfing scene. And we had a water main burst on 26th and 5th, and so we would make that part of the show. It was the Catastrophe Cafe, and the crew that was out there fixing it was part of the show. And Barker went out, ad-libbed with me, and did Hard Hat Price is Right. and these guys had to guess the retail value of their jackhammers and their hard hats.
You don't want to say, come on down to a construction worker.
Yeah. So that was just an incredible show, and
it was called Catastrophe Cafe.
Well, that's what we called that.
Oh,
little,
that show. What was the show called?
Breakfast Time on FX.
And, how long did you do that?
Did about 2 years, and then it went to network, which we thought was a good idea, and then we found out what happens when you deal with a bunch of network executives who you know are all sort of pooling brain power, and it was a disaster. And I worked with Good Morning America for the better part of a year, and then ended up doing Hollywood Squares. Meanwhile, the spirit of Edward R. Murrow went, okay, I don't get this, but whatever.
How did you end up on People Are Talking in Boston? I mean, how'd you end up
I was doing a radio show. Mm-hmm. I started in radio. I was doing a radio show in New Hampshire, in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, a place I love, and some people from Boston. It was a nightly show, and I'd have musicians come in and perform and mm-hmm. you know, make crazy phone calls all over the world if a story caught my eye. And, mm-hmm. And very loose, very improv, and some people in Boston TV listened. And so they called me and said, you know, we got some shows. We'd like you to audition for these things. And I did, and that led to, at WBZ, People Are Talking for about 6 years.
So you never were a stand-up?
No. No, I did. You know, I dabbled in it, but I just didn't have the... I didn't have a... I think you have to have sort of a core sensibility in stand-up, you know. Mm-hmm.
You had to have a problem childhood.
And it's like Conan said at the Emmys, don't thank your parents. Nobody from a nurturing environment gets into show business. You know? I didn't quite have the feel for that, but I love doing like improv theater, and I love doing broadcasting. I love radio.
And where were we from?
Haverhill, Massachusetts, I started in radio when I was in high school there. Mm-hmm. And actually, while my voice was changing, I sounded like Mr. Haney on Green Acres. Welcome to the show, Mr. Douglas. You know, but it was always that was my first love was radio, and then the TV thing kind of just happened.
And but you see, it seems like, you know, watching you those 20 shows in the Hollywood Squares,
right,
that you really can host anything. When the woman was crying,
yeah,
and the guy was screaming at her on the practical joke they did, everybody up in the squares was completely flipping out, like,
right,
what's going on?
Right.
And, you know, Teller's yapping at me. You know, Teller's going, what's going on? You know,
right.
Keep that shot away. And
wait a second. Teller was speaking
to you? Yes, he was. Teller was flipping out. Teller was going, this is getting, what's going on? You know, and, you know, we're the ones that are supposed to fool people. Hook, line, sinker, fishing pole,
well,
part
that's
of the dock.
When you told me at lunch that day, because I, you know, when Penn said, you know, we've been together 20 years fooling people, and we didn't know what was going on
either.
And that was a real tribute to Henry Winkler and Michael Levitt for pulling that off, I thought.
Did they
air it?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. It aired including me hearing them say April Fools, and then the and my immediate reaction, which I'm glad it was my immediate reaction. I was so in awe of how well they had scammed me that I immediately congratulated. I wasn't angry or anything, because I just thought that was so cool. It was just, I was completely snowed by these guys. And then I see the guy, the contestant, on an episode of Married with Children, like a few months later, a rerun. He's one of, Ed O'Neill's buddies. I'm going, son of a bitch, why didn't I? You know, I thought he looked a little familiar, but then everybody in town looks a little familiar. So.
It was a good choice that they used teachers.
Yeah,
too,
yeah.
Teachers are always on the edge of going whack.
Yeah, and you feel, you know, they're underpaid and overworked, so your natural empathy is with them. So it just played really well, I thought.
And you do the dancing show a lot. When do you go to the dancing show?
Yeah, you should dance.
No. Ballroom I'm all for, but... An action I'm all for.
Yeah,
you
well,
think
there
you I would
go.
Like, but you got it the just, combo plate.
That's right.
No, I can't publicly. I can't.
No, really?
I just, I'll fall. I mean, I'll end up dying.
And then I can go on both shows.
You'll have me. I'll dance. You'll have me with someone who's not able to move, and or is great. And
Jerry Springer's doing it this time.
I hope he has a good time.
Yeah,
I can't.
And you all said Tucker Carlson, right?
Tucker Carlson. Yeah.
Yeah. Dancing fool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd do it with Betty White. That's what I would do. It with. You know, just stand there.
People would do it with Betty White.
I would.
She's funny.
I took
sexy.
A plane with her once. Yeah. She is a sexy lady.
She is. Did you see her at the Shatner roast? She was about.
No, I heard. But I heard what Jeff Ross said about her.
Oh, what
he said, Betty White in her pants.
What about
Shatner? Shatner.
Get it?
Shatner.
Yeah, yeah, Shatner. That does sound like a Jeffrey Ross.
It's a Jeffrey Ross joke.
All the way, all the way. And how'd you end up on the dance? What's it called? Dance with the Stars.
That was, again, as Bob was saying earlier, you know, once you're kind of part of the network, and I got a call, and my agent said, and I've been with this agent for years, and she said to me, all right, ABC would like you to host a summer show, and you're going to do it. I said, all right, why are you taking that? She goes, well, it's a ballroom dance competition. I went, no! No! And then they sent me the...
it's a horse gilding show.
Right, yeah. Well, in that case.
Sorry, Wilbur.
They sent me a tape of the British show Strictly Come Dancing, which is what this is based on, and I loved it. I thought it was like an old style variety show with a reality element, and it had sort of a wink wink nudge nudge affection for its kitschier elements, and you know that they're all playing for bragging rights in this goofy little trophy, and I thought, you know, 6 weeks, it's going to be fun. It's live TV, which I love, and there's so little of it now.
How much is there? Who's doing live TV?
I don't
TV?
Hardly
the news.
The news is, yeah, and that's, you know, and that's so much fun. But, you know, like when I do Good Morning America, the early show, it's the early show a little less so, but GMA at the time was very rigid. If I did anything, like I got up out of my seat, my God, you hear donuts drop from behind cameras. It was frightening.
And, from inside people's pants.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly right. So the 6 week thing, I thought it would be just a fun gig for the summer, and it just, who knew it would take off like this. So now we're coming back September 12th. We'll be on live Tuesday, Wednesday nights for 10 weeks.
Oh my God, that's amazing. How many are you doing?
We've got 11 couples that are going to be competing.
Wow.
And then I think the plan is...
How long does that run for? You don't know?
10 weeks.
Oh, it's 10 weeks.
Yeah, 10 weeks, and then we'll be back probably twice a year for 10 weeks at a shot.
That's great.
And then...
People love the show.
It's fun.
It.
It's such... It really is fun. It really is fun to do. And it's a bunch of Brits producing it, so that's fun, too.
Well, who are the best dancers you had on?
Among the non-professional, I think really the ones who won, Drew Lachey, Nick's brother, last year was incredible.
He's the rest of him.
That's right. Kelly Monaco from General Hospital.
Gorgeous. I want to see her wardrobe mishap. Were you there? Did you see it?
I didn't realize what had happened.
Get me tape.
I can get you tape. But she came. I was amazed at how well she held everything together.
Oh, I thought you were saying well put together she was.
Yes.
That's when you load up something and you got nothing.
Yeah,
right. He is a lover of birds.
Coming here.
Well, Garrison Keillor's station, MPR, yeah. Minnesota Public Radio, threw me off the air. I was in Minnesota and I was at the fair and I was talking about the host being topless on a stick.
Yeah,
and because everything's on a stick at the fair, and I was talking about her, and they were getting a little tense because it was live on the air, and there was a sign backstage that I loved. The sign said, "Don't insult the audience, don't swear." And I was backstage going, who would insult the audience? And they went, ha, ha, ha. And I went out there, and I'm talking. We're all there, and there's an audience of about 200. And I did about 15 minutes.
Right.
And then I was going up to say something, and I said, well, you know, no one gives a good goddamn. And I went on. I did another 3 minutes, and my wife came up afterwards and said, you weren't on for the last 3 minutes.
Oh,
what it did was it went, no one gives a good That went to Low Rider. Just played a song all the way through. And I was out there, and there's something, you know, what we do for a living,
right.
If you don't have the audience, is so deeply humiliating. It's humiliating enough with the audience, but if all of a sudden, you know, they told you that episode you just did of Hollywood Squares, no one was taping, no one would ever see it, and you were standing there explaining tic-tac-toe to people, you know, that is time to do a Bud Dwyer and just put a gun in your mouth.
And what's weird to me still is that an audience, a group of people probably never met, never will be together again, take on this group identity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll either be
one person.
They're one person. It's like an organism that unifies.
And it doesn't even seem to be leaders. It doesn't seem to be like if you've got three good laughers, they change it. There really is a group think thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that
Which is the beauty of it, actually. That's the best thing when it works.
And it's the horror of it when it doesn't.
When I started out, I worked in the Catskills, and I had two gigs. I can't remember which place it was. I think it was the Raleigh or something. And I was not suited. suited for this. I was like 23, 24. I had a guitar on. I was doing Make Me Laugh, the show that we make people laugh. And it was all the, you know, the people that go to the Raleigh. And they were sitting there going, why didn't you become a doctor? You know, just like, and I started strong. I did my good stuff up front.
Right.
That lasted 3 minutes. I had 52 to kill.
Oh.
And I literally got it down to a whisper. I got it down, and they didn't walk out. They were eating roast beef because my picture was on the menu. And they by the end of the night, it was like the end of laughing.
Oh,
it was like
geez.
Person. It was the most... And then I realized that night, don't ever let this happen again. Yeah. So I stopped doing comedy.
And you went on to America's Funniest Home Videos. Tom Bergeron, Bob Saget. We didn't say goodbye to you. We're going to come back after this with more of that. Ben Gillette with two of the hosts of America's Funniest Home Videos. Tom Bergeron
and
Bob
Daisy Fuentes.
We can just say she's here. It'll be like
that's 10. Right.
Just say
that's she's right. Here. John Fugelsang is valeting.
He's a funny guy. He's a good guy.
Is he?
Yeah. Yep.
Anybody else?
They never did it though.
I don't think so. I think there was chemistry there.
If they had done it,
yeah.
Years.
That's like Sam and Diane.
Changed.
Yeah, right.
My God. It was like Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah.
It was like Ashford and Simpson.
You got others?
What is it? You don't have to be a star, baby, to be in my show?
I think that was it, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that when I was a DJ playing that song.
See?
Yeah. Yeah. Talking up to nothing was digital then, so you'd have the record, and you'd play it all the time until it fell off the charts, and you'd get something called Q-Burn at the beginning.
I had that.
Yeah. Johnson & Johnson.
There was an ointment. There was an ointment.
And you'd talk over the Q-Burn and get, you know, to the vocal and... And that's my story that goes nowhere.
No, it goes somewhere, because Q-Burn will keep me going for days.
Yeah.
Just be careful how you chalk it.
That's like prison pool, yeah.
Prison pool's a whole different thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Now,
the short straw is not fun, no matter what you do.
Oh, you're not going to like Tuesdays.
One of us is going to be the wife. You didn't just come here for the hunting, did you?
Oh, yeah.
That's a joke.
That's the joke. That's you're not really here to hunt. You know, I have a great story. A friend of mine is Rob Pike. He's one of the head scientists at Google and a brilliant, brilliant
scientist.
Man. Yeah.
And a scientist at Google? Isn't it just search?
Yeah, but someone has to make it work.
Right.
Those people are scientists.
They are.
He was at Bell Labs. He was the head research scientist at Bell Labs for a while. Brilliant guy. And he heard me tell the bear joke many, many times. Mm-hmm. And the way the bear joke goes is a guy goes bear hunting, and he has several times where he shoots at a bear, misses, and the bear comes over and ravages him sexually. It's like the Aristocrats. It's a filthy joke.
Yeah.
You tell all sorts of versions. And then when he's the third time he misses him, and the bear comes over and has his way with him, the bear says to the guy, "You didn't really come here to hunt, did you?" Okay, that's the punchline. And you're supposed to tell it long and involved,
right, sure,
with a lot of a bear raping a man.
I always tell it that it's right before the bear commits the act the last time. It's like he's about to do
exactly
it to him.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he asks him.
He brings out the other bears. It's a lot of ways. There's going to be a gang rape by bears. And I always would make it, you know, the word salty would come up a lot in my telling of it and so on, and lots of screaming and bear noises. So I would tell this joke. And I would tell long versions of it and love it. And my friend Rob, a very close friend,
who's a scientist, and I apologize
almost,
for not revering
almost,
him.
Almost total recall.
Mm-hmm.
He is giving a lecture at a university on information theory or whatever he would lecture on, which would be almost anything.
Because he's a scientist.
Yeah, he's a scientist.
At Google.
And so, Rob, why that's so funny to
I'm
you?
A nuclear physicist at Yahoo. Can't let go of this one.
Okay, go ahead. But
go ahead.
He tells...
Cardiac surgeon at Ask Jeeves.
So he goes out to dinner after his lecture, and he's sitting around with a bunch of guys. He decides to tell them the bear joke. So he tells them the bear joke, word for word, the way I told it to him last. Very long version, 4 or 5 minutes. And he finishes it up, and he tells, you know, "You're not really here to hunt, are you?" And everybody laughs, and it works fine, because it's okay to tell a filthy joke around scientists, even if they are at Google. And then one guy is not laughing, and one guy is angry. So Rob figures this guy's offended by the language or something, and he looks at him and goes, "You screwed up the joke." And Rob says, well, you know, I'm not a good joke teller. It's not what I do. But I've seen this told many times by several different comedians, and I've always been there, and I have a pretty good memory. I'm sure I told it right. He said, you forgot the punchline. And he said, what do you mean? He said, the punchline is, you didn't really come here to hunt, did you? You came to screw around with gay bears.
Wow. That's a very telling response.
Boy, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yeah.
That joke would go around. You didn't really come here to hunt.
Right.
That someone would feel, we got to add. This needs a little something to be.
There's no need for a button on that.
Yeah, no.
I say hunt tin. You know, that's, it has an apostrophe at the end of the N.
Sure.
I try to shorten it.
Yeah, you don't even want the
see, that's another example of neocon overwriting. You know? You're overthinking it. You're underthinking it. You're just not
that's true. That guy must be a scientist.
Yeah. Yes, he is. Yeah.
He's so amazing. He goes,
he's a scientist at MySpace.
Right. He goes past our universe. And
Wikipedia.
You have a MySpace account.
Friendster. I did. They had started it for me, my peeps, because I didn't take advantage of the stuff I needed to. So now there is a.
Yeah, I did it. I did it for. I did it for a while myself on MySpace.
I'm able to get on there, and I was able to do it. I just haven't had time to do it, but I want to. I have fans, and they want to come see when I'm doing stuff and know stuff. So MySpace is a very viable.
Well, you can. You can find mine because it says, you know, who are you? What are you looking for? And I wrote, who I am is a 51-year-old cop who's pretending to be a 16-year-old boy so I can trap people and go to prison forever. Who am I looking for? Other cops.
Right.
That was my way. Because that's good.
Wow.
That's
you
bound
can
to
really
happen.
Meet people.
That's
yeah.
bound to happen.
Sure.
You know, there are so many cops trolling
right.
on these
right.
spaces.
Right.
There must be two 45-year-old cops, each pretending to be 16-year-old boy and girl,
yeah.
and flirting with each other.
That's
that must
right.
be happening.
That's I
right.
met 30 cops on J-Date. Male cops.
Did you?
They're just looking for a bargain and a night out.
Yeah. And you don't have to bring the cuffs yourself.
No, they
nice.
Bring them.
They bring them.
You're all set.
And look at how you bring them, just bring them young. Who came up with that?
I think it's I don't care how you bring them, just Brigham Young. That
oh,
was
Brigham Young.
Brigham.
Oh, I cut out the joke part. Mine was just an illegal declaration.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Friendster.
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 And there's also X-Peeps. Which is the pornographic version?
Oh, I thought it was people
MySpace.
You used to be with.
It's
my ex-wife's site.
It's just people who the picture must be pornographic.
Really?
As opposed to MySpace, it's very careful. They
right.
kind of do the
right.
opposite thing.
Okay.
So I have four accounts there.
What's your password? I want to get in and become you.
My password is MySpace.
Because who'd think of that?
Yeah, no, you never think of that. Never
talking like Chico now. Who'd think of that?
He's a Mapotnik.
He's a Mapotnik. That's right.
Oh, man. Marx Brothers.
So when you're done with what's the next step in Tom's life?
Well, we start. I'll be doing Dancing with the Stars in America's Funniest Videos. I'm always in front of Bonds with my Will Host for Food sign.
How many shows? What is the most number of hours you've had a week? On
the most on ABC last season over a four-day period. I was hosting 7 hours of their prime time.
That's
in
true,
a four-day
right?
period.
In a four-day period. It was the finale of Dancing, which over two nights, and the two-hour finale of Videos, and a one-hour rerun. And
yeah,
and
you were
yeah.
the anything happened to you, and they
right.
would have no programming.
Right, I was trying to get a cameo on Lost. So.
With a plane crash.
Right, yeah, that's right.
With a plane
yeah,
crash.
Yeah.
We'll get Tom Bergeron, who is here, and who I've been doing. I've been done as many shows with his teller, I think. I mean, I did.
Oh, yeah, going back to
talking, Boston
yeah.
way
yeah.
back there, yeah. and America's Funniest Home Videos. And then we have Bob Saget, who.
I'm the Doc Severinsen. I was going to leave, but I love you, and I love Tom. Tom and I just met, kind of.
You can.
We met, but we haven't
yeah,
done
we met
this.
When Craig
Bob,
Kilborn was.
That's
when
it was a race, a relay
Bob,
race.
Yeah. You can leave now.
Oh, thanks.
Ouch.
Love you long time.
Pencil F, CBS, Free FM.